Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features. Today, as always, we have a Canadian guest, which makes me happy being Canadian. I love having Canadian guests on. This man has made an effort for me tonight. I want to apologize to him now that if he had a little bit of time issues, but that was always me. I have, we're going to try, B-Song Tai Wu in the house and his film Time Sleeper. And he's a writer, director, and producer of the film. So this man has got lots to talk about this thing. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. How's it going?
Good. So you put on every single hat. Are you also the gaffer and the catering guy too?
You betcha.
Oh, he's a one-man crew.
Yeah, so, the electrician, the whole works.
How does it feel to do it all that? I mean, obviously you're an independent producer, you're an independent director. I mean, you're going. Like, how much work was this?
Yeah, it's tough, but there's a lot of planning involved. So I've done a few shorts that I did all the roles myself. And so this was like just combining 10 different shorts together. So that's how I thought about it.
Yeah, but a short is small, 15 to 30 minutes, maybe 35, 45 if you're really pushing your luck with a short.
Yep.
This is an hour 40, I think, or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half, yeah.
That's a lot of work for you.
Yeah, it was. Took me 2 weeks to shoot and about a year of editing and post-production. yeah, it's done.
So how did it feel to have – what were your biggest issues over the 2 weeks? Like, was just the time that you didn't have enough time to fix something? You're like, hope they don't screw up this shot. I got the suns right. Everything's ready. We're good to go. I'm convinced you shot a lot of this at night because there's not a lot of natural lighting. It looks like you're a lot of indoor lighting, so you could help me a bit on that.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, the shoot itself, the two-week shoot itself wasn't so bad. And that's because I spent the previous 4 months or so just planning and getting the locations right and just scheduling everything. I have this Excel sheet where I scheduled the entire 2 weeks into the 1 hour time blocks. And I knew that based on my previous experience shooting short films, that I knew how long it would take me to set up and to take down and that kind of stuff. So the 2 weeks was just spent mostly executing. But it was thanks to the extensive planning I did prior.
Well, that's awesome. So you want to bring up locations. You have a beautiful apartment location. You have a store location.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about the apartment. Whose apartment is it? Is it yours?
I rented a place. So I think that's the only location I actually paid for. And I knew we were going to spend a lot of time at her place. So I wanted to get a place that was pretty fancy. So I found this place downtown overlooking the city, big glass windows, and I just rented it for 2 weeks.
They let you have a 2 week rental? Is this an Airbnb then?
Yeah. You can stay as long as you want, I think.
Now, there's the question. Did you stay there overnight then so you didn't have to go home so you could set up the next morning?
My actor stayed. Whoever wanted to stay could stay. But for myself, I went home because, I don't know, I like sleeping on my own bed.
I think a lot of people do, me included. Now, you have a store location. What kind of store is it? Because I couldn't really tell.
Yeah, it was an African store. It was an African food grocery store. So I called them up and said, hey, I'm shooting a movie. Can I use your store? And that's how I got all my locations. I just called them up and said, I'm shooting a thing. Can I use your place for a couple of hours?
And there was no problems?
No. The only restrictions I got were don't come during peak periods. And so I scheduled that as part of my shooting schedule to make sure I'm coming either in the evenings or during lunch or that kind of thing. Or on weekends.
So even with you have a radio studio. No, that can't be that easy to get. I could phone up my local radio station. They'd blow me off.
Yeah. I called up the guys at UMFM and they're really, really, really nice. And they let me use the place for an hour as well. Yeah.
So you only have a place for an hour. Are you ever worried that, you know, you may not get your shot? I understand you have an Excel spreadsheet. I'm talking about your hyper-focus, but I mean, actors are actors.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very, very delicate and fine balance because you want your actors don't really care about, you know, the timing and the scheduling and that kind of stuff. And you can't really be this enforcer all the time. So you have to sort of play with them and massage them. But at the same time, make sure that you're getting your shots before time runs out. So it's a very delicate balance, for sure.
So how about the music in your film? I find you have a very nice music balance. I quite enjoyed it at times. I like when it comes in, it goes out. I mean, you spent a lot of time, I think, editing that music in and moving it around, it felt.
Yeah, so Tom Kulerich helped me with that. I told him I wanted something similar to Blade Runner, which is one of my favorite science fiction movies. So that was definitely the inspiration for the music in this one.
So when you're deciding on a composer, how do you know that he was the one?
He was recommended to me by a friend who worked with him on her own film. So I went to a studio. He showed me around. His studio was really nice. He played me a bunch of tracks. He even like quickly composed what my soundtrack would sound like right there in the studio. And like he just blew me away. So I'm like, okay, let's do it.
So I also want to get into your use of CGI. Were you familiar with CGI before you did this film on your shorts, or is this the first time playing with it?
No, I don't think there are any CGI shots in this movie.
The nice work of the lighting. You threw me off there because I thought a couple had CGI in it. So
yeah, dang. No, I just it was some really good camera setups that I had, and lighting.
Hey, you fooled this guy, and I watch a lot of films, so good work. I'll give you that one. Now, I do want to discuss. You shoot on a bus. Is that guerrilla shooting on the bus, or is that allowed?
No, I rented the bus. I honestly, it would have probably been a better idea if I just went on Winnipeg Transit and just shot those scenes there. But I wanted control because I knew she had to change a bunch of times, and I wanted the same stretch of road that we were driving on. So just to have more control over that scene and make sure I wasn't rushing or and getting my shots right.
So what I'm just trying to figure out already in the beginning of our interview, you are tight, man. Like, I go on your set, you'll have me, okay, 2 a.m., you're here, 2:10, we're here, 2:30, we're out. Am I wrong here? Like, you're that tight on everything.
Yeah, for the locations in her apartments, we're free to relax and take our time and do stuff because I had the place for 2 weeks. But for the external locations where we had 1 hour, that's exactly how it was. It's like, okay, while I'm setting up for these 20 minutes, you guys can play around. You can do a little rehearsal. But once we start shooting, like, we got to get those shots.
I'm going to be remiss. I know what happened on your set that interrupted your fabulous Excel sheet.
Let me think. Not, I can't think of any. It was that good.
Wow. Okay. We gotta have you back. I'm impressed that. So we can't let you do like one of these $4 billion movies that are coming, Marvel movies, because I don't think you can handle it. Like, those things gotta have issues at some point.
Yeah, you know what? But it's interesting, like the issues that I would have on set are not really scheduling issues. They're more things like, oh, we forgot this prop, or we need this item here and we don't have it. Let's find an alternative. Those kinds of things, which you would be facing on those Marvel movies too. But in terms of scheduling, like, those guys, they don't joke with their schedules, because every minute that passes is like $1 million being wasted, right? So.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So why a relationship film in science fiction? I mean, usually science fiction, they're running away from something, or there's a creature involved, or it's just us against them.
Yeah, that's a good question. For me, it's like you said, that's usually what science fiction is about, but I wanted to try to bring something different to the table. I wanted to have a black lady doing science fiction-y things. You know, it's just stuff you don't see around. And especially from the movies that inspire me a lot, you know, even on the indie side, like Primer and Coherence and some of the bigger ones like Arrival and Blade Runner. They're very, you know, very serious, contemplative films, especially Arrival. Arrival was a big inspiration. You know, it's also about a mother, and she does science fiction-y things. So that's kind of the tone I wanted to bring to this one.
I wish I could remember the name of the film, but use a use of sounds to convey things, water, birds, and there's many other things too. I'm just two major ones. And I found that you, I can't remember even see like a Natalie Portman film. You know the film I'm talking about.
Annihilation.
That's the one. And I find Annihilation does this and Arrival does this. You're absolutely hitting on the use of sound. So were those influences on you? I mean, not saying you took from them. I'm just saying influences.
Yeah, absolutely. And Annihilation. I love Alex Garland's films. So Ex Machina and Annihilation are like two of my top films. And yes, they do some very, very cool things with sound. And it's something I'd like to keep exploring with my future films.
Now, I would argue, did you put the sound in afterwards there too, the birds, or did you actually pick those up while you were filming?
No, all the Foley sound is in post-production.
Okay. I figured as much, but I got to ask.
Yeah, it's easier that way. You can control, you know, the volume levels and that kind of thing.
Now, when you're doing it, when you're watching it, you're like, oh, I need a sound here. Or is that in your script ahead of time? You have that listed, birds chirping or water rushing by, or does that come to you while you're in the editing process?
It depends. Some scenes, if I'm showing what's happening in camera, like if I'm actually showing a waterfall, then yeah, then I definitely have that in mind in the editing room. Or sometimes for those kind of shots, I might tell my sound guy, just capture like a minute of water running at this waterfall here. And then we might use that in the editing room. Sometimes it's more unconscious where I just feel like this sound needs to be playing in the background while they're talking or that kind of thing. So yeah, sometimes it's just an intuition.
Now, do you find as a science fiction aficionado that time is your favorite thing to film about? Is that why your film's about time?
Yes.
Because every time shifting is different for everyone.
Yes, correct. I love just the concept of time. And a lot of my favorite movies deal with time travel, time dilation, all kinds of things. So this was just my own little contribution to that.
Now, when you're filming out your time jumping, your time backwards, your time relapsing, we could use all of them if you want. Do you have a gigantic Excel sheet for that? Because, I mean, I understand you're giving an actor a script. I mean, they're going to read the script, know the lines. That's not my issue. You as a director need to know where the point in time they are. And the actor may not know that.
Yeah, that's correct. I had a little small sheet that was tracking what day it was and how many days they had gone back and all that kind of technical stuff.
Now, did you ever play with the amount of time they were allowed to go back for? Because, I mean, it is discussed in the film briefly.
Yeah, so initially when I started writing it, it was definitely much more technical. But I kind of pushed that aside to focus more on her relationship, more on the relationship side of things. So, yeah, I had lots of sketches and diagrams on how time worked, and you know, they would even talk about the technicalities of it. But at the end of the day, I thought it wasn't really adding much to the story other than it was cool. But so I decided I would focus more on just her relationship and keep the time stuff to a minimum.
I feel as a viewer, maybe that's what you're looking for, a director, it's easier for me to follow that way if she's just giving me base instructions. I understand they're time jumping, I'm okay with the time jumping. But if she's just saying, hey, we're gone back 3 days, we've gone back a month, gone back a week, that's easy for me. But if you're going to mumbo jumbo and drop a bomb of technical jargon, you're going to have to make that pay off. So as a director, I was thinking maybe you thought it was easier to get rid of that just to make it easier for you to let the story flow.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you have to think about the audience too, because you might be a super nerd and you might analyze all those things, but you know, the audience just needs to know, hey, what day are we in right now? Like, how many days have we gone back? Just give me the dates, you know? So that was more what I had in mind, when I was writing those parts, just so they would, and you know, that's why I had the guy be even more clueless about it so that she can sort of break it down for him and make it easy for him to understand. So in that way, it's easy for the audience to understand as well.
Now, you use a drink for time jumping. I don't think I'm ruining anything by saying that. Did you have any other ideas for the time jump idea?
Nope. It was always going to be. I did a short film before I made this feature. And in the short film, it was a drink. So in the short film, she convinced the guy that time travel was real. And she gave him this drink. And he drank it and he fell asleep. And then he woke up the previous day. So that concept is what I used for the feature. It was always going to be some kind of drug in a drink.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just going to read my notes for a second. The cupboards. I've got to go focus on the kitchen. And why are the cupboards open on the kitchen shot? And then not. Did I miss something at that point, or did you guys make a mistake, or that is part of the film and I was supposed to notice it?
No, that was probably just because I was trying to avoid reflections. Okay. And I couldn't go back and shoot the other shots. So I'm like, you know what? We'll just have it that way.
Okay, because I even wrote, is this after the dinner break, meaning you ate there and you guys accidentally left the cupboards open? Because I did notice that.
Yeah. It was to hide reflections.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was just a technical thing.
So you make your lead run a ton in this film. This woman is running a lot. Was she prepared for the amount of running you were going to make her do?
No, not really. but yeah, I told her that there was going to be a little bit of action, so she should get ready. And yeah, she got into it. It was very nice. That part went smoothly as well.
Now, when you were filming your fight at one point during the film, do you have a fight choreography in mind, or are you let the actress work it out, or how do you work that out as a director?
Yeah, that was all done pretty much on the spot. Which is something I'll definitely do differently next time, is to have an actual fight choreographer help us get some really cool fight moves. But for this one, we just figured everything out on the set, especially in the scene where she gets, where that thing happens and she has to do the extreme thing. I just looked on the counter and I saw something and I'm like, hey, let's try using that. And that's how we came up with that.
Now, do you find while you're filmmaking and you guys forget a prop or you forget something that your brain can work and go, yep, that'll work? Like, do you think that up, or do you depend on your crew to help you out, or you just go with whoever thinks of the best idea?
Crew? What crew? but yeah, no, you always have to be thinking of alternatives because, like I said, a lot of times things don't really work out the way you plan. And even though I had, and especially in external locations where you have just the 1 hour, you really have to be on your toes. If something is missing, like find a replacement or figure out maybe in dialogue how to work it into the scene or that kind of thing.
So your writing process for a film so you told me you wrote a short film beforehand that had a similar idea, I'm thinking, of some guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you're like, hey, I like this idea. I'm going to take this to a feature-length film. How long does that process take?
Yeah, so the feature, I wrote it in March 2018, and I was writing about 3 pages a day, and I just spent a month. And in a month, in 30 days, I had 90 pages. And I'm like, okay, that's nice. And then I spent the next 4 or 5 months just planning and scouting locations and calling people and booking. And then we shot it in September for 2 weeks. And then I spent the next year and a half or so just editing and post-production.
I want to get there. Don't worry. We're getting closer to there. casting of your movie. Did you know your lead actress who you're going to have? Because she's very important to the film.
Yeah. So the girl, Gloria is my friend. And she had been in a few short films of mine prior to the film. So I knew she was going to play the lead actress. The guy, I didn't know him. So I put out an audition call on... I think we have a Winnipeg audition Facebook group. And so I just put out a call there, a casting call, and then he showed up and I liked what he did. And I said, all right, let's do this.
So when you're going to, I want to back this up just a bit. The guy just can't show up and give him the part. You got to make him do something. Don't you make him read the page or?
Yeah, no. He did his audition. I think one of the things that impressed me the most about him, even apart from the audition itself, was that he showed up on time. And for me, it's like that was the biggest thing, because I needed to know that I can count on you to show up for this 1 hour slot and, you know, move on to the next location, right? So I needed somebody that was really super time conscious, and he was. So that was the thing more than anything that impressed me the most. And then he did his audition. He did a read with Gloria as well, and the chemistry was nice. And then he brought, you know, the way I wrote his character on the page was more calm, chill, but like he just brought so much energy to that character and we changed it, so that was really nice as well.
Okay, now it took you a year and a half to edit. What was the holdup? Like, what took so long to edit? Were you shooting too, like, I can't see you overshooting, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So are you just micromanaging everything to that precise second?
Yeah, it took my time. The thing is, I work a 9-to-5 job, and it's a job in software development, which, you know, it's pretty tough. So I would just have, you know, a couple of hours here, half an hour there to edit the film. So I really just took my time.
So the editing process, so do you find it's hardest part is the trimming down the scene to get the most that you need in it and not let it run too long?
Yeah, so the editing is probably my favorite part of the filming process, because like I'm a computer nerd, I like to sit in my basement and be alone and just do the work. And so, yeah. Past the movie was about 1 hour 50 minutes, and so I had to do a second and a third and a fourth and many other passes, cut frames, cut scenes, cut pauses in between dialogue, and it's kind of a grueling process, but it makes the film tighter and not boring.
So you're from Winnipeg. I think how do you feel about the Winnipeg film scene? I feel it's very vibrant for the amount of film I'm getting out of Winnipeg lately, much more than I find that Toronto is.
Yeah, Winnipeg is great, except for the winters, which are cool. But no, it's great. Like the art scene in general, even outside of films, just the art scene in general, especially in the summers, it's fantastic. We have all these programs and all these events and all these things happening that it just makes you feel like you're part of this big art family. And we have the Winnipeg Film Group here, and they're amazing. They have lots of support programs and stuff. So, yeah, it's great.
Okay, it's time for some fun questions for you. Are you ready for these?
Yeah, let's go.
Just because your first time on the show, everybody gets the same first question. Your favorite film?
Man... How can I answer that? That's okay. I'll just pick one off the top of my head right now on the spot. I'll give it to Blade Runner 2049.
Okay. I will argue with me. I like the original much better. I think 49 needs a little bit of a cut. Better looking film, yes.
Yeah, you know what?
Too long.
It's a toss up. For me, it's a toss up. My wife prefers the original as well. She doesn't understand how I watch the sequel so much. I don't know, man. There's something about it. But yeah, I agree with you. I might give the first one a little bit of an edge, but I got to pick one, so I'm going to pick the sequel.
It's the speech for me every time. The speech at the end just does me in.
Yeah.
Okay. Just because I learn new things all the time, your favorite food when you go out for dinner, if you're allowed to go out. Well, you're in Winnipeg. You're allowed to go out. You guys aren't locked down.
Yeah, I'm a very traditional guy. I love rice. So everywhere I go, I order some rice, some chicken, and whatever gravy or sauce that they have there.
That's basic, man. We don't have any excitement. Wow.
I know. My wife is like, I mean, it makes it easy for me to order because I can go into any restaurant and I'm like, hey, is there rice on the menu? Oh, yeah, there's rice. Just give me your rice and chicken.
Heard up, man. You're in Winnipeg. It's like coming to Toronto and ordering some rice. I don't get it, but it makes you happy. Your last question, your favorite sport?
My favorite sport is probably soccer. Growing up in Nigeria, I played soccer. So I don't play as much here because I'm lazy. But my brother plays in a couple of leagues, and he's been trying to get me to join. So who knows? But yeah, I'll pick soccer as my favorite.
Hey, there could be a film there you're not thinking about, a science fiction soccer film. I've never seen one.
That is true. I'll think about it. Take some notes.
So before we let you go, you have 8,000 films. You're a great filmmaker. Your new film, Time Sleeper, is premiering somewhere. So tell everybody where they can find it.
Yeah, so it's on Vimeo right now. It's on Gumroad as well. And it's on Amazon Prime.
Do you want to promote your website or anything, or you don't have one?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go to timesleeper.com. That's timesleeper.com. And you'll be able to see the movie there. Vimeo has the player that you can just click on it and rent it or purchase it. And you can find me on Instagram as well. My name, bsong_, my last name, Taiwo. On Instagram, I post, whatever I'm working on Instagram. So if you want to find out more about me, come check me out.
Yeah, and people, give him some weird science fiction films to find, like Solar Babies. I'm sure he hasn't seen that one.
I haven't seen that one, no.
Send him a bunch of weird bad movies that don't, but he'll have to watch them because he's probably got the same problem I do. Thank you for your time, and you have a great evening.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.